There's a foundational biblical truth, which is all things are created for the glory of God. Speaking of God the Son, Jesus Christ, Romans 11, verse 36 says, "From him and through him and to him are all things." Hebrews 10, verse 2 says the same type of thing. God created to show his greatness and his goodness. He created to display himself in what he created. The mountains, the oceans, animals, people, all of it, it's not meant to be looked at and admired in and of itself. All of this amazing creation points to the Creator, who is much greater than what he has created. What is created represents the Creator. A great example is marriage. If you turn, you got your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In verses 22 to 32, it points out that marriage is to display the type of relationship Christ has with his church. Marriage is created to display the greatness of God. Marriage represents God to us. Let's read this. Verse 22 to 24. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." So a wife's submission to her husband represents the relationship between Christ and his church. As the church submits to Christ, so the wife should to her husband. The wife submitting to her husband displays the type of relationship the church and Christ are to have. Wives are part of representing the relationship between the disciple and Christ. Verse 25 to 30. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body." So husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church, caring for her according to God's word, caring for her with love like Christ loves you and I. The husband loving his wife displays the type of relationship Christ and the church have. Husbands are a part of representing the relationship between Christ and his disciples. Verse 31 to 32. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church." So at salvation, we are united with Christ. We are one in Christ. We are in Christ. And the marriage, the husband and wife, each and together, represent the relationship of Christ and the church to each other and to the church and to the world. We represent God to the world with the relationship of our marriages. This is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. God's people represent God to people. God's people represent God to people. Us represent God to people. This was already going on way back in the book of Exodus with Moses. In Exodus 4, God was getting Moses ready to go and speak to the Israelites, giving Moses the message that he, God, was going to lead Israel out of Egypt using Moses. And Moses raises some objections. God provides some signs. Then Moses says he's not a good speaker. So God told Moses that Aaron will speak for him. But Moses will give Aaron the words to say. And God will give Moses the words to give Aaron. So God to Moses, Moses to Aaron, Aaron to the people. And in this way, God says to Moses in verse 16, "You shall be as God to him." Moses shall be as God to Aaron. A little later in Exodus chapter 6 and 7, Moses raises some objections to God over Moses going and speaking to Pharaoh. And God tells Moses in Exodus 7 verse 1 to 2, "I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land." So these two passages and scenes in Exodus are examples of Moses representing God to people. Moses is like God to Aaron and Pharaoh in that he is giving them the words from God. Moses is letting people know truth coming from God. So listen carefully so that no misunderstanding gets in here and some heresies are created. Moses and husbands and wives are as God, are like God to people in that they represent God to people. Moses got words directly from God. We get words from God from his word. Am I God? Am I a mini God? Am I divine? No. No. There is some teaching out there that's going on called an apostolic movement that claims that we are divine and we are somewhat mini gods. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what the Bible preaches. I have the privilege, you in Christ have the privilege of displaying the greatness of God to people, to the church, to the world. So let's narrow this down a bit. It's Father's Day, of course, so let's talk to dads, to fathers. Moms and women, of course, you can listen to this and this applies to you too, but we're narrowing in on dads today. Dads, we represent God the Father to our children. You are to display the Heavenly Father to your children. You are to genuinely interact with them from enjoying them to disciplining them. Safety, joy, fear of you, wisdom, correction, love, comfort, mercy, grace, paying attention, sacrifice, all of those wonderful things that the Lord gives to us, we are to display to our children by our words and our deeds. Your children, my children, should be learning who the Lord is through our relationship with them. You are as God to them, like God to them. Everyone here suffers from and is blessed by their fathers in providing for us a good and bad representation of God the Father. If you're always mad at your kids, that will influence them towards seeing God as always disappointed in them. Same with if you don't take sin seriously, or you don't set boundaries, or you let them rule your house, or you don't enjoy them, or you don't forgive them, or you don't pay attention to them, or spend time with them, or if they don't know that you love them. All of those things play into their understanding of who God the Father is. But on the flip side, positive side, if you enjoy your kids, if you take sin seriously, if you forgive them, you pay attention to them, you spend time with them, you love them, All that plays into their understanding of who God the Father is. If the very foundation of family, which is marriage, husband and wife, if that represents God, how much more does the role of dad represent God to the offspring of that marriage? This is dad's primary job. It's a huge calling. Your primary job is not to put food on the table. It's not. Your primary job is to represent God to your kids. Be as God to your kids. And it's a huge calling. Who God is, how God is to us, is how we are to be to our kids for the glory of God, to show who God is, us being as God to our kids. This, of course, means that we must know who God is according to how he has revealed himself, and we find that in the Bible. Now, if you're like me, we know how impossible this is. I have messed this up so badly, so many times. I cringe when I think of some of the ideas my boys have of who God is, because of me freaking out, because of my sin. I very often do a miserable job of displaying who God is. We cannot be great representatives of God. If you think you can, you're misinformed. And here's why I say this. In and of ourselves, man, we don't have the power or ability to do this. We don't. Romans 7, verse 18 to 25 says this. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death? Verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I have the desire. I have the desire to do this, but not the ability. From here to here, or here, it's missing. How can I do this if I desire to do it? If I'm convinced that that is the primary role, and that's a beautiful privilege and honor that I get to do, and that's what I'm called to do, how can I get it from desire to mouth, to actions, to heart? How? By being nicer? Maybe just trying harder. Just try. Buckle down and try. No. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He has the power and exercises that power in us and through us so we can display God's greatness to our children. This is the truth. He has the power to do this. When the angel was talking to Mary, telling her of the coming pregnancy of Elizabeth, who was super old and couldn't have kids anymore, and Mary, who was a virgin, and the angel says, you're going to be pregnant, both of you are going to be pregnant. They're like, what? The angel said in Luke 1, verse 37, for with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. In Philippians 4, Paul is explaining how he is content in all circumstances. And he survives no matter if he has a lot or a little. And this guy has been through terrible, terrible situations that most of us would have given up. And he explains, no, I'm content in every situation. How? Well, he summarizes this ability in verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. He can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. There is this incredible message and truth from God that by the power of God, we can glorify God. By God stirring up our understanding of grace and forgiveness, by God stirring up the desire and will to represent Him to our kids, by God just flat out changing us into being more like Christ, by God empowering us in the moment, to be forgiving, loving, paying attention, comforting, because of the power of God, we are able to be as God, like God, to our children, displaying for them how wonderful our Heavenly Father is. In prayer this morning, Lorna said to me, "Dads, they need to," I'll paraphrase, we need to get over our shortcomings. We need to get over our failures. We need to get over how we can't do this. And just admit, yeah, I can't do that. I wipe out while I do it. And admit that it's not by Edgar's power that I can do this for Eston and Elijah. I can't. Now, instead of beating myself up and withdrawing, which is very attractive to me, instead of cashing in and stepping back and going, okay, just go. Instead of doing that, just admit my shortcomings to the Lord and celebrate the power of the Lord, the risen Lord, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me, who empowers me to be able to say and not say things in the moment, to be able to embrace, to be able to forgive, to be able to be taken shots at, and to be able to stand for what is right, to be able to call sin, sin, and not stop talking about sin in our household like the world is doing. I can do that because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Dads, we can do this. God wants us to, and because of Him, not because of you, not because you're so smart and you're wired up so well. Because of God, and because you are in Christ and belong to God, you can do this. You can. I'm not giving you an Obama speech here. Yes, we can. That's garbage. By the power of the Lord, we can. Dads, you're going to mess up over and over again. Just admit it. Come to terms with it. But don't quit. Don't quit this high, important calling, no matter how old your kids are. Even if your kids make fun of you, even if they take this sermon and throw it in your face, don't give up. Don't give up God's calling. Don't give up on your kids' right understanding of who God is. This is your highest calling with your children, right here. Right here. Wives, moms, pray for these men. This is a sinful world throwing all kinds of bad messages at men on what it means to be a man. It is ridiculous what we're told it is to be a man. And what our young boys are getting told that it is, what it means to be a man. Pray for dads. Encourage dads. And dads, we've got this. I don't know how else to say this, because I'm saying it to myself too. Dads, we've got this. This is more important than your job. This is more important than your recreation. This is more important than TV. This is more important than you. Dads, we've got this. Step up. Be a man, be a dad, and let's get on with it. Men?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Men?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
I should stop. Let's pray. Father, Father, we want to do this. What a privilege this is. This is an enormous privilege. We look for careers and houses and cars and all these different kinds of things to give us identity, to give us purpose, to make us feel special and important, you know, positions and all that. And here we have you calling us, giving us the privilege of representing you to our kids. Father, forgive us for how we've brushed that aside and seen that as not important. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, and may we accept your forgiveness and know that we are forgiven right now of that. And pay no attention to the guilt and the condemnation of our failures, but to stand up under the grace, in the grace that you have given us in Jesus Christ, and to take hold of that calling with dependence in you, with trust in you, to represent you well to our children, to our little children, to our teenage kids, to our young adults, to our older kids. We would represent you to them very well. Lord, in the heat of the moment, in the heat of the moment where things are the toughest, I ask that there your words would come to mind, and there we would experience your power of being perhaps holding our tongue or controlling our thinking, or your word coming to mind, or saying the right thing in that moment. Give us that power and that strength to go your way. Lord, change our hearts so that we would love what you love, that we would love our kids so much that we would take this calling super serious. That the importance of work would fall to the side. It would have its place, but it wouldn't have this place. Lord, help us to be dependent on you and to be comfortable with our weakness and our brokenness, and celebrate our weakness, because when we are weak, you're strong, because we're out of the way, and stop thinking that we are the superstars. What hope we have in you, Lord. What incredible hope we have in you. Your gospel message makes all the difference We can be these dads because Christ went to the cross and broke our slavery to sin. And therefore, we can do this with the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we as men, as dads at Calvary Baptist Church, we say, come, use us, empower us, don't let us quit. May we be great examples of godly men. For your glory, we ask this. In Jesus' name, amen.